Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. And as usual, we want to take the space to first welcome our guests. And it is with all respect and honor that I welcome Virginia here with us. And I thank you, Virginia, for coming and giving us your allotted time, because I know it is precious. And you are also entrusting with us the care and to hold this space for you to tell us about your journey. I want to thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment.
Thank you, Ken. Well, it's a real honor for me to be here because, as I was telling you earlier, anything that has to do with overcoming is what I'm all about. And I really appreciate the opportunity to get my message out to people in need, because I know what it was like when I was at a place of real despair and darkness. And I would have loved to have had access to finding a way out by hearing someone or reading or listening to something. So my name is Virginia Oman, and what I do is actually life transformation. What I do is help people get from a place of darkness or feeling stuck, feeling hopelessness or despair, and move them not only out of that place, but getting them connected with who they truly are, who they came here to be, the gifts they were given to share with this world on this plane. And then I move them into creating the life that they truly want for themselves. What differentiates me from other therapists, I guess, or coaches, is that I have three areas of expertise to draw on. I'm not only a licensed mental health therapist, but I'm also a life coach, a certified personal trainer, and wellness master. So I combine these three areas and am able to harness the powerful mind-body connection with people. And it's just phenomenal where they get. I love my work because I get to see this full transformation with them. And actually, we have a graduation ceremony at the end, because they... to see where they get to is just, it's phenomenal to see them blossom. And I think another thing that differentiates me is that I'm living proof that I walk the talk. I'm kind of a living testimony that the techniques and skills that I use work. Because I used to be in a wheelchair with no ability to stand or walk or work because of a progressive neurological disease. And it took me down to a great place of despair. I watched my body just disintegrate. And using the steps that I developed on my own, because I, at the last minute, and I can share more about that story with you as we go on, but I developed my own techniques to get myself out of that place, because I didn't want to die. Yeah. I wanted to live, but I wanted to live a full life. So fast forward to after using these techniques and spending lots of devoted, dedicated time with them, where I am today, I am now walking, I am hiking, I am dancing. I am even riding a two-wheel bicycle again, which is something my neurologist said would be totally impossible not to even try it, because it would be too dangerous. And I'm off almost all my medication. And I, most importantly, I'm living with more energy, more joy, and more passion than ever before, even before this progressive disease came into my life. And so now it's my passion. It's my purpose to share this message with others and get them to be able to live the life that they want and deserve to
have.
I
love your passion about your assignment. And I tell people that one of the reasons why we were picked to go through our journey is because we can be trusted with the journey, and then we would be trusted and to be given the office, the seat of that of a servant, so that we can serve. Because what we did, what we learned from our journey, we learned how to love ourselves, we learn how to forgive ourselves, we learn how to be empathetic, we learned all of these different tools that can be used and is necessary within our journey and in our teacher's office, so that we can perform it with spectacular mm-hmm. results. One of the other things that we go through it is that when we speak about it, we speak about it with such authority and our energy from mm-hmm. our words, that when released, that the person or the hearer, that they know for sure that this person has walked through this situation, and they can then, Victor, they can yeah. trust those words that we have released to them, cause them to be able to create a space within themselves to relax and allow the change to happen. And that is a beautiful example of what you were saying and the joy I see in your face. I want to go back a little, Virginia. We want to go back, and my audience know that we like going back to the beginning of our journey. And that usually starts, most of the times it's before the birth, but we start with the journey from there. I want you to tell us about how your family was, everyone calls it home. Virginia, I call it a lab. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about your home life as to your parents and siblings, and how was that?
Yeah. Okay. yeah. And I like your description of it as a lab, because it certainly did. These wonderful beings certainly fulfilled their mm-hmm. purpose for this transformation. Yeah. When I grew up, I did not have a happy beginning mm-hmm. at all. I had severe trauma at an early age as an infant of 1.5, and it traumatized me really for the rest mm-hmm. of my life. And I felt alone, I felt left and abandoned, and it really, I think, started my journey as not only wounded, but to enable me to know that, okay, nobody's coming. This is me. And if I want to live, I need to persevere on my own. I need to do whatever it takes to stay alive. Yeah. And so it started from there.
How old were you?
Well, that was 1.5. And
that's a tough lesson.
And you know, that's
to learn, Virginia. That is
a very
serious,
tough lesson. That it
incredible entrance into this journey. That is a powerful.
It certainly was. Yeah, and as we know in child psychology and human growth and development, the ages of that early part, especially up through age 2. That is the time when all infants, all babies, learn if they can trust. That's the development skill. And so I was right in the middle of that when all this happened. And so that's why it was so powerful and just disastrous in many ways for me, that set me up. But it also set me on this course of self mm-hmm. resiliency and self perseverance, which it I guess developed that seed.
Yeah, I heard your testimony.
So when I needed to,
yeah,
call,
I heard about it. I have been listening to you for several days, and today I mentioned to you that I was listening to you, and one of the thread, the golden thread that I hear in your story, this determination that is at a different level than most people, that when they express determination. I love your determination. It is incredible what you do and how you allow it, that determination, to instruct you and to move you forward through your journey. Okay, because this is a powerful mm-hmm. lesson to learn at such a young being, to drop that in, because I'm still baffled at that, Virginia, because it's at such a young age. Most people are not aware of anything like that at all until much later mm-hmm. in their lifespan, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that also set me up for, I mean, I'm not sure how it did in terms of just affecting physiologically. I know it really affected me on a cellular level, as it mm-hmm. would any of us, and did a real number on my immune system. And so later when I was diagnosed with mm-hmm. MS, which is a neurological disorder and an autoimmune disease, looking back, it kind of made sense that might have had started mm-hmm. a germination process way back then at the same time. Don't know.
But, how did that make you feel when you got that information as to the limitation within your body? How did it make you feel as an individual, you, Virginia, the person?
It was tough. I was in the middle of graduate school in my 30s and was having all these bizarre symptoms. And I wasn't getting any explanation from doctors. And I ended, you know, I was having vertigo. I was having dizziness, really intense vertigo. I was having leg numbness, all kinds of symptoms, but they were classic symptoms of MS. And yet nobody diagnosed it correctly. So I ended up just assuming that I had a brain tumor. And it wasn't until 4 months later that I got correctly diagnosed. And I remember when the doctor came in and gave us the diagnosis that it was MS. I had no idea what MS was, but I had heard of it. And we knew that, this mm-hmm. is not a good thing.
Wow.
So I said to her, well, what do I do now? And she looked at me, and this was 33 years ago. And she said, well, if I were you, I'd get a wheelchair. Mm. And I remember at that point thinking to myself, my intuition, which will come up later in my story, my intuition yelled at me from inside my head, there is no way in hell I'm going to be in a wheelchair. And that was that seed of resiliency, I guess, from a long time ago. But I was devastated. And if I had been an average person that had taken the medical establishment viewpoint as gospel, I would have gone and gotten a wheelchair, and I would have put it in my house and looked at it every day and thought, okay, that's what's coming. Mm-hmm. It would have been horrible. But instead, I kept doing what I was doing. I was a long-distance runner. I was very active in all kinds of aspects of life as a mm-hmm. musician as well. I kept doing what I was doing. And then slowly, over time, it started to catch up with me, and I started to fall, trip and fall. But I refused to give it up. So I would just put Band-Aids all over me and wear pantsuits to work and continue to go to work. And then the very last time I fell, I didn't get lucky. And when I fell, I broke my hand. So I thought to myself, well, there's no problem. Now that I have a cast on my hand, I'll just run with a cast on my hand. But then my wiser yeah. self intervened and said, wait, you're also doing part-time work as a sign language yeah. interpreter. If you fall and re-break yeah. that hand, you're not going to be able to sign anymore or yeah. play your instruments. So I had to stop running. That was the first major, major loss of my life.
What instruments
so
do you
it
play?
Just came on from there. Well, I actually play over 15
oh, wow.
different instruments.
We're going to talk about all of those in a minute.
Yeah.
Because music
yeah,
and,
okay.
and
yeah.
Puts you in a certain state. And as you...
Oh, you bet it does.
As someone that is open to music and open to knowing about those states, you can gain a lot of insight and victory mm-hmm. within that space if you understand what it is. But I love one of the things that you said, and Virginia, I always tell people to find this. Anytime a person is not moving, is stationary within their lifestyle
yep.
or their life, it's because they haven't made a decision yet. And you mm-hmm. made a decision that governed your life. You said, no, they said, go ahead, you're going to need a wheelchair. And you said within yourself, one of the most powerful places to yeah. visit when someone gives you contrary news to within yourself will shout out and say no. And I call that, yep. And I tell people, make sure you find that. I call it, Virginia, a statement mm-hmm. of faith. And the reason why I say that mm-hmm. is that you have to believe this thing more than anything else. And what it does is that once you believe it, mm-hmm. you govern your life accordingly right. to make that thing a reality within your space and your journey. And I tell people, right. find it, locate yeah. it, because it is the one of the most powerful things. It will guide you. And it's always, you can change it and add to it, but you need to have one in order to come out of that dark space that you are in. So mm-hmm. here you are, you've got your first major interruption when it comes to the accident. You broke your wrist, you're moving forward now. You got the news, and you're trying to make the adjustment. I want to go back a little. How yeah. did that define you, for a lack of a better word? Because we tend to let these things define us, Virginia. How did it mm-hmm. define you,
well,
or if it did?
I really mm-hmm. didn't let it. I yeah. was determined. I think my motto early on was, you know, my body may have MS, but MS does not have yes. me. So that's how I felt. And I just kept, you know, indomitable mm-hmm. will.
Yeah.
I just kept plowing through. And even though later, you know, I got lucky, or maybe I didn't get lucky, but I, all of these things and my belief system got me through. It wasn't until 15 years mm-hmm. later that the disease started closing yeah. in on me, so to speak. And that's when things got really tough, because I ended up, you know, just watching as my body started to deteriorate, because MS is a progressive yeah. disease. So I just watched as it started to go down the tubes. And I listened to what the medical establishment was telling me to take, mm-hmm. you know, the medicines. I was listening to what they said about movement and exercise. And I just watched as everything got worse, to the point where that's where I said, and if people go to my website, they can yeah. see a video and pictures of me at that point where I was in a wheelchair. And everything was mm-hmm. so horrible and so bleak, I seriously considered opting out. Because for me, the kind of person I am, if I can't participate in life, I don't want
yeah.
this experience anymore, because it's just not meaningful enough. So when it got to that place of being so bleak, I thought to myself, it's my intuition again that came in and said, wait, you've got nothing left to lose. Let's try something. And so I listened to my intuition and I listened to what my body was telling me that it wanted, not what the medical establishment was telling me, but I listened to what my body was saying. And I then developed a plan and I worked it out and I developed it in great detail. And then I started implementing it. And every single day I was exhausting and I was not seeing any result initially, but I wanted to live so badly that I decided I'm going to stick with it. And I stuck with it and I kept doing it no matter how exhausting it was. And, you know, it was about five weeks, long weeks later that I first started noticing more energy. And for a person with MS who has no energy, that was a huge gift. And I got to say, I started in the water because I could no longer walk or run, obviously. But I didn't even have the leg strength to kick. So I couldn't propel myself from one end of the pool to the other. So I developed my own body stroke. It's underwater dolphin kind of maneuver with my torso to get me moving in the water. And it was exhausting. And people can see me doing this stroke if they go and watch this video of me. But I started there and I just kept at it. And sure enough, after about a month or so, my legs slowly started to come back. And then I kept at it. I just refused to give up, did some other changes. And then also I was implementing my mind-body techniques that I had learned by just utilizing my belief systems, focusing on the prize. I wanted to walk. Because I wanted to live, I wanted to participate in life. I just kept focusing on what I wanted and refusing to believe anything
else. I love your story. It is so powerful. I always say the personal journey and self-development is one of the hardest things you will ever do because it'll cause you to look at all the dark places and visit some places that you don't thought was there. But I see, because I came from some of the familiar area that you have been. I was an athlete. And when your mind, you train your mind as an athlete, you push it beyond. And music is another format that caused, for my sake, in case it helped me, I was able to meditate and slow down and learn how to slow down within the music, especially those that when I love something and you focus as a musician, I focus on what the instruments are doing, the voices and everything, so I can hear every little thing. Yes. And so it causes you to certain things and practices that you can apply when you're going through your journey. But it is not a place for weak people. Mm-hmm. You have to be determined. You have to be strong beyond your wildest dreams, because no one will be strong for you, and your tenacity is legendary, lady. I want to tell you that, because here you are. I saw those things, and you still got up, went out, and did what you did, and you did not give up, and you incorporated other parts of what I tell people they need to do, use. Is that of to visualize where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Do not focus on the negative, because that energy will take away your creative power. Now, when you allow to focus and set your intention on what you want, you open up creative power, a determination that is expressed in your life. Go on, Virginia, talk to these people, tell them about some of this thing, because I know what I saw And I was excited to have you here so you can walk them through. As you began to notice the changes, how did you feel within that space? And, what did you want to do after that?
Oh, I was just so joyful because I had energy. Oh my God, I didn't have to take two naps a day. I had energy. I had joy because of that. And I have movement in my limbs. I could move my limbs. I was free. I was not shackled and in prison anymore. And I knew that I could participate now, go back and participate in things that I loved. And I started working again in the fields. You know, I was a therapist before, but now I went from that point because of all the training that I put myself through. I actually went and got certification to become a nationally certified personal fitness trainer and wellness coach. So I added that on, and I added different aspects on and studied lots of different things. The other thing that differentiates me as far as mental health is that in my practice as a mental health therapist and life coach, I utilize not only regular psychology, which is the principles and tools of helping people get out of a place of despair or depression, but I also went on and did postgraduate work in positive psychology, which was a field invented in around 1998 by the wonderful Dr. Martin Seligman. And he did all kinds of research and accumulated it and compiled it to create this wonderful field. And that is what makes people happy, what makes people thrive. And so I studied that and I add that into my work with my clients to help them create that not only the kind of person inside they want to be and feel and think about themselves, but the life that they want to create. And so I did that with myself, and now I'm doing it with other people, and I love watching the progression with people. And it is. It's the most powerful aspect that we have is what somebody said the other day. It's right between our ears. It's what we focus on, what we choose to believe, what we choose to see and create. We use those beliefs and those thoughts to create every moment. Every thought that comes up next and next and next in our head. And that determines our life.
You were saying about it. It is the difference between, I want to put it this way, living and existing. Those that are just drifting, we are living on the mechanics of life. Up in the morning, go to work, punch the card, the mechanics of life. The ones that are living are those that are choosing to live, who they are making the decisions to do. They're taking the thought. They now understand the purpose of the thought and whether to utilize that thought that comes that is going to serve a purpose to cause a change within my circumstances or that other thought that will keep me and probably sink me even further down. But it's still your choice. And so, but you have to decide, as you said, what lifestyle do you want? Do you want to live the lifestyle that you're currently living under that programming that society and everything else has given to you? Or do you want to go on a new programming? You are in control of that program. You decide the thought. You decide it. You have an outcome, but your thought is your choice. And once you make that decision, you are now truly living because it takes you to where Virginia is. It takes you to discover who you are and the gift that is within you from your journey. And when you discover that and you work from that space, it is not work, Virginia. It is not work. We love it so much that we could do it 40. I tell people you could do it 40 hours in a day and we would do 41 and we still want more. It is a place of power. It is a different, it's a different thing. And you get up every morning with an energy that is beyond this stuff. And it breaks my heart, Virginia, when people settle, because that's what they have done. They have settled for the programming that they have received, and they refuse to go beyond that. And I was listening to one of your story, and you had made a mention of hopelessness. I want you to talk a little about that, because that is a powerful space to be in, but it's yet a more powerful space to walk out of. And you have done it. And I want you to address those people that are in a space of just hopelessness. The Bible says hopelessness makes the spirit of a man sick. So hope deferred makes a man sick, it says. So talk to them about that space, because I know a lot of people are there, and I want you to walk them through your process of exiting that space, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found of all the different aspects of life and states that we can get in, what I've experienced is that hopelessness is the worst of all, because if you don't have hope,
you don't have
anything. Yeah. If you read the wonderful Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, that will bring that home too. I always recommend people read that wonderful book. But hopelessness is a prison. And when you are locked in that state, you can't see out. It's like you have blinders on and you can only see this dark place, even though the horizon and all this wonder is right in front of you, but you can't see it. It's all blocked off. And, you know, when I got through this journey and realized, you know, I almost exited out of this life, and it was hopelessness that took me there.
Yeah.
And so my desire was, I don't want one other person to get to that place of total despair when they don't have to. Yeah. They don't have to.
Yeah.
And they just have to know that this is not a reality. What they're seeing and feeling is not a true reality. Yeah. It is skewed.
Walk them through.
And, they're just seeing world out of a prism of despair.
Walk them through how caused you to, what caused you to shift your perspective about the place that you were located. What caused you to shift your perspective that will now begin to cause you to be take the steps necessary to remove yourself from that place? Do you remember what it was?
I wanted to live. You know, I was faced with that. I was right at that place where I was going to end it. And the inside of me was just screaming to live, because I love life. I'm a life lover. I have so much passion and so many interests and so many things, facets. I always say if I could live 100 lifetimes, it wouldn't be enough to do all the things that I want to do and learn all the things I want to learn. But I wanted to live. And so I wanted to do anything, grasp onto anything I could that would keep me in life, keep me breathing. And so that's what it took, was my great desire to still live. And that's when my intuition said, listen to your own body, listen to what your intuition is telling you. And that's where it all started, was right there. I also want, Ken, to go back to something you've said, and that is, you know, because of all of this, looking back now, after coming full circle, coming to the other side, I really consider what has happened to me with the MS and everything to be a gift. And people, unless you've gone through something like this, most people cannot understand how can having MS be a gift. But it truly has been because I have been to the the brink of the pit of ashes, so to speak. And I, you know, my logo for my business is a phoenix because I relate to that logo. I relate to a phoenix rising out of the ashes of despair and flying, because that's what I did. And so it's been a gift, but it also has given me the gift of knowing the sacredness of time, the sacredness of life in a way that I never would have before. And so it's from that place that I want to give this message of hope to bring to people so they can live, come out of darkness into light, into a place of joy and gratitude for life.
That, Virginia, is a place of power. And that is why I mentioned to you, when someone goes through, you were trusted with that disease. I hate to put it that way, but you were trusted that you would come out and you would, as you said, go come full circle with that same thing you just explained. That carries with it a power that is necessary because the need is great within that community. No one, not that many people, let me refer, not that many people, Virginia, have done, I don't think anyone, they're now looking at you, coming to you to gain insight and wisdom, meaning they, the collective medical staff. But Western medicine is a child compared to the inner being that we are. We have been around much longer and we have more information than they can possibly express within that field because it's constrained. It's a fear-filled industry. They can only teach fear and they're restrained by laws that will cause, they're afraid of being sued. They're afraid. It's a fearful industry. It is not an industry that is governed with what Virginia is talking about. This is about an industry. She is talking about looking within and bringing out the result on the outside. Western civilization medicine is inept in dealing with that. They will shut you down. They'll stick you in a corner because you are going against the training, the programming that they have received within that field. And you go beyond that. And even though they know and there's proven fact that when the belief system of an individual will heal them, where the medicine will only manage the sickness. But that person's belief system is going to heal them 100%. They see it over and over again. They don't want it to go out. They don't explain it because pharmaceutical companies gonna don't want to teach nothing about that. So I know you are, and I want the listeners to gather yourself for 1 minute. Here is a person that is outside of that. And so she can speak from what happened to her. She can carry with it a power that when she delivers it to you, in this Christian world, they call it, she has an anointing on her because she went through it. And that anointing is all power. And I love how you explained it. It is what you do today. It's who you are. And because you've experienced your journey, you can empathize. You know the pain. You know you're familiar with that hopelessness. You're familiar with all the things that they would be going through, and you would be able to speak to them. You would be able to hold them within that space, give them the opportunity to relax and to breathe, and then begin to drink in the words that you say to take them to the next space.
I, I think it's also true for all religions, but when you're talking about Christianity, even Jesus, Yeshua, said, you know, it's all a matter of you believe. I mean, those were his words.
So be it according to your faith. So be it according to your faith. Every time, this is and I tell people, here's these two men yelling, Yeshua, Yeshua. And Son of David, and he's walking, minding his own business, and everyone is telling them, stop bothering him. And they kept yelling at his name, and then he turns around eventually and said, what do you want? And they said, we want you to heal us. And he said, do you believe that I can do that? And they said, yes. And so he walks over to them, and he touched them. He said, okay, so be it according to your faith. Their belief system caused it. So you and I have it within us, and it is up to us.
Yeah, we all do.
It is up to us to tap into it, to retrieve the desired outcome that we are looking for. Medical doctor will not tell you to do that. You can only do that, you know.
Right.
And so I'm glad that you're here. You went through that because there's a great need.
Well, there's a great need,
Virginia, for what you're doing.
That is why
you needed to go through, because medical doctors can only take them so far, and you can take them much farther because you have done it. They're coming to you looking to see how you did it, you know. So educate those girls. Educate them, girl. Tell them about what their limitations. But that is, I don't know how they're going to, let me ask a question, Virginia. How are they receiving that? The medical society, because they would have come.
It's a process. I don't start them off there. What I have to meet them when I work with anyone, I meet them where they are at that place. They've come to me, they've seen the video, they've seen my website. There's lots of things they can do ahead of time before they work with me. Just kind of see what I'm all about. But when we start to work together, I start where they are. And the first step is identifying with them their internal beliefs, letting them see what those beliefs are. Because most of us, as you know, we have no clue what we're listening to, the self-statements we're listening to. They have been so ingrained in us. They're so familiar that we don't even know the words we're listening to anymore. So we work together to identify those self-doubts and those negative self-beliefs. That's where we start. And we lean into them, give them voice, let them be healed for the first time in the person's life. So, and we go from there.
I am so...
But it's all... I was just going to say, it's all, you know, for me, every day... I start my day with a hike, and, you know, I'm so grateful to see the sky and the trees and hear the birds and welcome this gift of a brand new day that we've been given to create whatever kind of day we want. But certainly when you're working with a person who's in deep despair,
they can't see.
They don't see that. They think you're crazy. They think you've been drinking strange Kool-Aid. So we start at the beginning, and I walk them through step by step.
I know you, when we started this, you had, when we were speaking before, and you mentioned it also within the interview, the place that you are now, place of power, the seat of a servant.
Yes.
And I know you mentioned you like seeing some when the person get there. Talk to me about when someone that you that comes to mind, that when they got there and that look that is in their eyes and that joy that is inside of you that is just bubbling out. Talk about that, because I know it's a sacred space, and but it's a place I'd like you to just give us a glimpse of that.
Sure. There's so many to choose from, but, you know, one woman I worked with who had even more severe MS, well, actually what happened was she continued to listen to the medical establishment. And she didn't have that inner spark within her. And so when I even said to her, when we first started working, and she'd been in a wheelchair for over 20 years, when I start working with her and asking her what she wanted, and when she finally said the words, I want to walk, I want to stand. And when I said, okay, let's make it happen. It was almost like, what? We can do this? And then fast forward from there, it was, we worked on it. We developed a plan. We implemented all these things for her. And then to have her report, and I worked with her and I saw her, and then she kept sending me videos or photos of her standing. And it was like somebody had breathed brand new life into her. She was so, so joyful. And when you get to that place, then you realize, hey, if I can do this, can do anything. It's like what happened for me when I started to walk again. You know, I started to be able to stand and walk with a walker. I thought to myself, well, what else can I do? If I can do this, what else? And so I started walking with hiking poles. And then I thought to myself, okay, we're on it. What else do I want to do? And I said, I want to be able to ride a two-wheel bicycle again. And that's when, you know, everybody was saying, oh, please don't try that. Because with MS, you lose all your balance and it's just nuts. But, you know, I had the vision. I had the desire. And I implemented a plan and I stuck to it. And it took me 11 and a half months of working hours a day, step by step. Yeah. But I did it. And again, people can see me doing this. If they go to my website and see that short video, they can see
that's
that.
That's awesome. We'll provide all of that stuff for them.
I just feel like I'm limitless. I'm unstoppable. And I love helping people get to that place where they feel the
same
thing.
That is awesome. There's this other thread that is within our conversation. You express your desire and you make a plan. A lot of people don't make a plan, Virginia. They express the desires and they try to do things and there's no direction to their going. But they're going someplace, but there's no direction to that going. And that is someplace that they need to sit down. Virginia, I want to thank you for coming to Threads of Enlightenment. Anthony and everyone that is listening to us, I want you guys to get in touch with her because she knows how to help you to formulate that dream. Once you tell her what it is you want, she then can then put a plan together. Why? Because she did it. And she will know how to put it to get you your desired outcome. And she would be there walking with you and talking with you and singing, laughing with you, all of it. So
thank you. And also, I always offer a free consultation for anyone. So I'm hoping that you'll somewhere on here list my website, which is virginiaoman.com. But I'm hoping
we will
list that
everything that you have, Virginia. You'll be amazed what they'll list about you. So they're going to find all where you're at every place and put you out there so that people can have access to you because you are needed. The medical field can only take you certain place to a certain degree, and they cannot take you beyond that. You need someone that is outside of that arena, that has been through, that has gotten the knowledge, that's been in the pit, that came out, understand the pit, and knows the all the pitfalls within those pits to be able to bring you out. And so, again, Virginia, I want to thank you so much for visiting and spending time with us here at Threads of Enlightenment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken, very much. Bye for now.